So we'll be reading from Colossians 2, from 1 to 7. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight, to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just want to give you thanks for being here. We thank you that we're all gathered here, whether that's in person or online, just to give you thanks and praise you, Lord. You know how our week went, whether it was being a good week or a bad week, but we just thank you that we've put those emotions and feelings aside, Lord, and we decided to just dedicate this day for you. Lord, as we hear the preach for today, we pray that you open our hearts and you open our ears. As we leave the service, Lord, let us not forget the words, Lord, but rather let us reflect on what we've been taught today. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you will do for the upcoming week. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Erica. Good morning, church. Just imagine for a moment receiving a letter from someone you've never met, who's heard about you from someone you both know. And in this letter, the writer, who you've never met, compliments you, cautions you, corrects you, counsels you, and commands you. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul did, and when he wrote to the church at Colossae. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians when he was actually chained to a soldier while under house arrest, properly in Rome. Paul never visited Colossae. The church there was started by another man called Epaphras, and Epaphras was the person who met up with Paul and reported to Paul about the life and the faith of the church at Colossae. And while he was telling Paul about the church, he also told him about some serious doctrinal issues that had come in and affected the believers there. So much so that some of the church were turning back to following Jewish legalism, while other members were beginning to turn away from Jesus and almost view him like some of the Greek or Roman deities that abounded in the first century of AD. And this Bible series that we're in, called Simply Jesus. And like Paul, we want to put Jesus in the center of our activity, in the center of our life, in the center of our faith, in the center of the mission and ministry of this church. Jesus is our focus. Jesus is head of our church. It's all about Jesus. And we do not apologize for that, do we? It's all about Jesus. And the desire of the Holland Road elders for you and for me is what Paul wanted for the Colossians, that they would increase, that we would increase in our knowledge of Jesus, and that we would grow in Jesus. And that begs the question for this morning: how to grow in Jesus? The first way I believe that we can grow in Jesus is gain in our knowledge of Christ. Paul begins verse 1, and if you've got a Bible, keep it open before you. Verse 1, he says, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. You can hear Paul's pastoral heart there for the church. He's anxious that the Colossians do not fall prey to the errors and the lies, the false teaching and the contra arguments and the vain philosophies that are going around. He's contending. What does that mean? He's fighting. He's exerting himself. How? After all, he's chained to a soldier. How can he be struggling? How can he be exerting himself? Well, one way we understand from Paul that he struggled was in his work to spread the gospel. But as I read Paul's letters, it seems to me, I also think that he struggled in prayer for the churches. He wrestled in prayer for the churches. Paul is engaged in spiritual warfare for the Colossian Christians, for their faith, for their love, for their unity in the truth of the gospel. And he's wrestling in prayer that they might grow, that they might mature in Jesus Christ. And I think this struggling echoes what Jesus' own wrestling in prayer in that Garden of Gethsemane. Paul is wrestling in prayer for them. When I was a pastor, I prayed several prayers for the churches that I had God graciously called me to oversee. And one of the prayers I prayed very regularly was this one: Lord, lead them not into temptation today, but deliver them this day from the evil one. I used to pray that regularly for the church. You see, Satan does not want this church to grow in Jesus. Satan doesn't want you to pray, doesn't want you to worship, doesn't want you to study the scriptures, doesn't want you to witness through practical ministries and through word and through generosity. Satan, friends, does not want you to grow in Jesus Christ. And like Paul, the elders of this church, Holland Road, engage in spiritual combat on behalf of the church. They fight in prayer for the truth and repel Satan, who is and his works, the father of lies. And that is what we need to hold on to. We are holding on to truth. There's a battle for truth. Notice Paul's struggle actually extends beyond the believers in Colossae and also nearby Laodicea, another church that he never visited. It says, to all who have not met me personally. Everyone Paul had yet to meet, and that includes us. Hands up if you've met the Apostle Paul. Well, that's for a relief. No one has. Good. Well, I'm looking forward, actually, to meeting Paul one day in glory. I want to thank him for his contributions to the Bible, and I'll ask him a few questions, including what or who, probably, was his thorn in the flesh. But here, Paul is stating in verse 2 his pastoral purpose is twofold in contending in prayer. He says, firstly, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, and secondly, united in love. Encouraged in heart. The word for encouraged there is a Greek word, and it is paraklethosen, the work of the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Paraclete means someone that's called alongside. The Holy Spirit comes alongside to strengthen you. And Jesus promised in John's Gospel that the Father will give you another advocate, like myself, Jesus was saying, another paraclete to help you and to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, he goes on, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Remind you of the truth. And I think Paul is praying for the Holy Spirit to strengthen the Colossians' resolve and our resolve to hold on to truth and to reject what is false. Just to give you a horrific reminder of the need to discern truth is the German church in the 1930s. Many Christians followed Hitler because he quoted the Bible and he spoke about Jesus. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's vital that you personally test what you hear against what the Bible says. Check it out for yourself. Learn from a group of believers in Acts 17 in a place called Berea, that's about northern Greece, And when Paul preached to them, we're told they received the message with great eagerness, but they didn't stop there. The verse continues, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Always ask, what does the Bible say? Test what you hear against what the Bible says, including what I'm teaching. Here's the truth. Read it for yourself. Test what you hear in order to grow in Jesus. And Paul's second stated purpose here is for the Colossians to be united in love. Literally, the word means welded in love together. In two of the churches that I've pastored, there were men who could weld metal. And more than once, I was grateful for their skill and for their equipment that they used to fix our children's metal winter sledge, which got a battering down Gold Hill Common at winter time, and also their skill with our past their best cars, which the MOT inspectors didn't like the look at the first time round. The welds strengthened what was weak. And I think one reason that God pours the Holy Spirit's love into our hearts is so that we would be knitted together, welded together in fellowship. And the result of being encouraged and united, Paul says, is to attaining the full riches of complete understanding. The full riches of complete understanding. Don't you want to increase in your wealth of understanding, of being Christians together in loving fellowship and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Paul says this understanding brings more knowledge, that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. When I was a boy, there were times in the school playground when someone might say to me, "Here, Graham, do you want to know a secret?" And as an adult now, I usually answer no to that question because it's probably gossip. Paul, though, wants his readers to know a mystery. Not just any old mystery, but the mystery of God. Mystery here doesn't mean something mysterious, but something which we're only initiated into through God's revelation, revealing something to us. This mystery is an open secret. It was hidden, but now through the gospel, it's openly revealed. And Paul refers to this mystery four times in this letter, twice in chapter 1, here in chapter 2, and again in chapter 4. And the mystery is Christ in you. Christ revealed through the gospel. The gospel is God's way of redeeming sinful humanity through his grace, putting new life in us, Christ's life in us, regenerating us by the Holy Spirit to know Christ living in you. What is a Christian? Someone to ask was to ask you that, how would you answer? What is a Christian? Well, one way to do it is actually to take the little letter A, rearrange the order of letters, and put the A at the end. What is a Christian? It's Christ in a person. What's a Christian church? Christ in a church. What's a Christian family? Christ in a family. Christian company? Christ in a company. And so on. And as a believer, not only is Christ in you, but you are in Christ. The commonest description, actually, in the New Testament of a follower of Christ, of Jesus, is that he or she is in Christ. And the expressions in Christ or in the Lord or in him occur 164 times in the letters of Paul. I got up early this morning to count that for you. And in Paul's letter to the Colossians, it occurs, or in this reading rather, these seven verses, it occurs three times. You see, as you get to know Jesus better, you will grow in Christ. Verse 3, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The more you look to Jesus, you'll gain a fuller and deeper knowledge of God. It's as Paul wrote back in verse 19 of chapter 1. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, dwell in Christ. Paul is telling them this so that they won't look elsewhere. And verse 4, that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. You need to know that deception abounds. There's a lot of deceit around. Actually, it goes right the way back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent's deceit caused the fall of Adam and Eve. Fake news is not new. Fake news is not new. True knowledge and wisdom are not found on social media platforms, even if they're called Truth Social. This book is the truth platform. The Bible reveals Christ. True wisdom and knowledge are not found in the ways of the world. The treasures of life are found in Christ. True wisdom is found in Christ. Life-changing knowledge is found in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The knowledge and wisdom of Almighty God is found where? In Jesus. The mind of God is found in Jesus. Life is found in Jesus. Everything you and I need is found in Jesus. And everything that you learn about him will cause you to grow. So get to know Jesus and you will grow in Jesus. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed where? In the face of Christ Jesus. Amen. So how to grow in Jesus? Firstly, grow, gain more knowledge in Christ. Secondly, strengthen your faith in Christ. Verse 5, Paul writes, "For though I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit." Ever heard someone say that? I'm absent from you, but I'm present with you in spirit. Have you said that? You've heard it? Have you said it? It's actually usually an excuse for not attending a meeting, isn't it, David? I'm not saying that you use it, but you will have heard it. You see, if you're physically absent, you're not present in spirit, because your spirit is where your body is. We are not disembodied spirits. However, I think it's fair that Paul might use this. After all, he's locked up in prison, and he was desperate to meet up. He wishes he was there with them, you know. "I wish I was there." And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, "I really want to be with you." Fair enough. Strengthen your faith in Christ. You know, the moment you put your faith in Jesus, he comes to live within you by his Holy Spirit. It happened to me at 10:30 p.m. on the 15th of December, 1973. I was 21 years old. I'll save you doing the maths. I'm 72 now. 15th of December, 1973, 10:30 p.m. It followed a Christian concert at a place called Hildenborough Hall, which is now renamed Otford Manor. And there on my knees, I capitulated. I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wonderful transformation took place. The Lord himself took away my sin and took up residence within me. Christ entered me. Jesus came to live inside me. That's what my mum said. Amen. Praise the Lord. And my testimony verse since then is this: "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Verse 5 continues with Paul rejoicing to hear from Epaphras how disciplined, literally how orderly you Colossians are and how firm your faith in Christ is. And the word for discipline there is a military term. You could picture the king's troops on Horse Guards Parade or marching down the Mall or in Buckingham Palace. It's that military formation. Keeping military discipline is essential when it comes to fighting the enemy. Well-drilled battle formation helps prevent enemy attacks breaking through the lines. And Paul has heard that the Colossians are well-drilled, they're well-taught, and how this reflects in their Christian faith. He says how firm, literally, how solid it is, how compact it is, your faith in Christ. But he knows that like an army, we have to regularly train in order to advance. Otherwise, we weaken and we retreat. Having faith isn't enough. Even having firm faith isn't enough. Faith needs regular strengthening to maintain it. And I picture faith like a muscle. I know this is hard to believe, but I spend regular time in the gym and also in the swimming pool, and if I can, swimming in the sea. Partly on medical advice. In fact, our doctor prescribed swimming lessons for me, but not on the NHS. I had to pay for them. And not so long ago, I was swimming in the swimming pool, true story, and I'd never seen her before, but the doctor was there. And I thought, I wonder if she's checking if I'm taking my medicine. Is she checking up on her patient? But you know, the more I exercise, the stronger my muscles become. And it's the same with faith. Paul says in verse 7, continue to be strengthened in the faith as you are taught. When I first signed up for the local gym, the trainer explained to me, instructed me on how to use the different pieces of cardio and resistance equipment. The same with swimming. My swimming instructor taught me the different techniques. Now I know it's down to me to do it. God has given us muscles for our life in our physical bodies. God has given us faith for our life in his body, the body of Christ, the church. And Paul told Timothy, training your body helps you in some ways, but devotion to God helps you in every way. It brings you blessings in this life and in the future life too. You will grow in Jesus when you strengthen your faith in Christ. How do you do that? Study the Bible. Serve others. Discover and use your spiritual gifts. Witness. Fellowship. Give money. Faithfully obey everything God tells you. But most of all, strengthen your faith by depending on Christ's power in the Holy Spirit. Each day, ask God to fill you with the Spirit's power. You know, look at the life of Jesus. Every time he got into a tight spot, every time he needed strength, he went to his Father in prayer. And that's how we rely on Christ's power. We go to God in prayer. We admit our weakness and we ask God to pour his power into our lives that our faith might be strengthened. So how to grow in Jesus? Firstly, gain knowledge in Christ. Secondly, strengthen your faith in Christ. And thirdly and lastly, continue to live in Christ. Verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. If you're a Christian this morning, can I ask you, how did you receive Christ? The answer is by faith. Paul says, how should you continue to live your life in Christ? By faith. Applying what you were taught. Asking the Holy Spirit to help you live the truth that you hear and read. This is to respond to God's word as Mary, the mother of Jesus, did when she said, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And we've already heard in the service about receiving God's words like food, letting it become part of our flesh and being incarnated in us. American pastor Eugene Peterson, who gave us the Message paraphrase of the Bible, says there's an organic link between the word read and the word lived. Speaking of Jesus, the Gospel of John begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on continues, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity, lived physically here on earth. Word and life are at the root of living in Christ. With Jesus, life originates in word, and word creates life. And when we pray, like Mary, something happens. Mary prayed, "May your word to me be fulfilled." We're asking for God's word to do something in our flesh. God's words, you see, are capable of being incarnated in our living, because all true words of God originate in the Word made flesh. As Eugene Peterson puts it, a miraculous conception in the womb of our lives takes place when we allow God's word into our lives. Christ in me. And then Paul describes in verse 7, growing in Christ as rooted and built up in him. For a plant to grow, it has to be well rooted in good soil. For a building to grow, it needs good foundations. And every stage of growth and development, roots and foundations have to be in place. And God wants you and me to have deep roots in Christ and good foundations in Christ. He wants us to be sustained. You know, Kathy's the better gardener in our family. And she knows that plants with shallow roots are easily uprooted or die through lack of nourishment. And God wants you to be like that person, that blessed person in Psalm 1, who's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. And God wants you to grow by building you up on Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. Jesus, friends, is the only sure foundation in this world. A mature believer is someone who's building his or her life on Jesus. And I want to ask, is your life rooted in Christ? Are you building your life on Jesus? See, conversion, coming to Christ, is only the beginning. What God wants is for you to continue to live in Christ, persevere in Christ, by listening to him speak to you daily through the Bible, and by you speaking to him through prayer, by worshipping him, by meeting him with others, and by sharing with him with those that you meet. And as you receive him as Lord, as you live in him, you will be rooted in him and you will be built up in him. Hallelujah. How to grow in Jesus? Gain knowledge in Christ, strengthen your faith in Christ, continue to live in Christ. As I come towards the end, let's pause and ask a couple of questions. What is God saying to you through these verses? Which is it for you? Knowledge? Faith? Living it out? Perseverance? And also, if the elders were to contend for you in prayer, like Paul did for the Colossians, what would they be praying especially for you? Would it be that you would gain more knowledge in Christ? That your faith would be strengthened in Christ? Or that you would be persevering, living it out, what you've been taught? Just think for a moment. What is it for you out of those three? Our brother Tim Vellacott shared the elders' prayer for this Simply Jesus series. And this is the prayer. As God's people, we would take hold of all that Jesus has won for us and allow that to shape every aspect of our lives so that the gospel might continue to bear fruit. Amen. And Paul ends this little section with three words, overflowing with thankfulness. See, living in Christ means a life that is overflowing with thankfulness. What is inside comes out. What's in your heart expresses itself through your life. And we have the opportunity shortly to overflow with thankfulness this morning. In fact, the Greek words that Paul uses for thanksgiving are en eucharistia, from which we get the English word Eucharist. And at Holland Road, we call taking the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper communion, while other churches might use the word Eucharist. Whichever word we use, our sharing is the overflow of thankfulness to God for the body and the blood of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. As the band return, let's pray. Father, I want to pray in the words of that song that Jesus would be the center, that Jesus would be our source, our light. Yes, Lord Jesus, we ask you to be the center, be our hope, be our song. Jesus, be our vision, be our path, be our guide. Jesus, be the fire in our hearts, be the wind in our sails, be the reason that we live. Jesus.